Osho, My Way, The Way of the White Clouds. Discourse number 1, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
And not a new question, one of the oldest, many times repeated and asked. That when a Buddha dies, where he disappears, whether he survives, or simply disappears into nothingness. Buddha is reported to have said, just like a white cloud disappearing. Just this very morning, there were white clouds in the sky. Now they are no more there. Where they have gone? From where they come? How they evolve and how they dissolve again? A white cloud is a mystery. The coming, the going, the very being of it. That's the first reason why I call my way the way of the white clouds. But there are many reasons, and it is good to ponder, to meditate upon those. A white cloud exists without any roots. It is an unrooted phenomena, grounded nowhere, or grounded in the nowhere, but it still exists. The whole existence is like a white cloud, without any roots, without any causality, without any ultimate cause. It exists. It exists as a mystery. A white cloud really has got no way of its own. It drifts. It has nowhere to reach, no destiny. No destiny to be fulfilled. No end. You cannot frustrate a white cloud, because wherever it reaches is the goal. If you have a goal, you are bound to get frustrated. The more goal-oriented a mind, the more anguish, anxiety and frustration will be there. Because once you have a goal, you are moving with a fixed destination. And the whole exists without any destiny. The whole is not moving anywhere. There is no goal to it, no purpose. And once you have a purpose, you are against the whole. Remember this. Then you will get frustrated. You cannot win against the whole. Your existence is so tiny. You cannot fight. You cannot conquer. It is impossible to conceive how an individual unit can conquer the whole. And if the whole is purposeless, and you are with purpose, you are going to be defeated. A white cloud drifts. Wherever the wind leads, it doesn't resist. It doesn't fight. A white cloud is not a conqueror. and still it hovers over everything. You cannot conquer it. You cannot defeat it. It has no mind to conquer. That's why you cannot defeat it. Once you are fixed for a goal, purpose, destiny, meaning, once you have got that madness of reaching somewhere, then problems will arise. And you will be defeated, that is certain. Your defeat is in the very nature of existence itself. A white cloud has nowhere to go. It moves. It moves everywhere. All dimensions belong to him. All directions belong to him. Nothing is rejected. Everything exists in a total acceptability. Hence I call my way the way of the white clouds. The white clouds have got no way of their own. They drift. A way means reaching somewhere. White cloud's way means a pathless path, a wayless way, moving but not with a fixed mind, moving without a mind. And this has to be understood, because purpose is synonymous to mind. That's why you cannot conceive how to live without purpose, because the mind cannot exist without purpose. And people are so absurd, they even come to me and ask, what is the purpose of meditation? Meditation cannot have any purpose. Because meditation basically means a state of no mind, where you are, but not going anywhere, where just being, just to be, is the goal. The goal is here and now. Once the goal is somewhere else, mind starts its journey. Then the mind starts thinking. Then the mind starts a process. If future is there, then mind can flow. Then mind can have its course. Then mind has space to move. With purpose comes future. With future comes time. A white cloud hovers in the sky, timeless. Because there is no future and no mind to it. It is here and now. Each moment is total eternity. But the mind cannot exist without purpose. So mind goes on creating purposes. If the so-called worldly purposes are last, then the mind creates religious purposes, other worldly purposes. If money has become useless, then meditation becomes useful. If the so-called world of competition, politics has become useless, then another world of a new competition, of religion, achievement, becomes meaningful. But mind always hankers for some meaning, some purpose. And to me, only that mind is religious which is purposeless. But that means that mind is no more a mind at all. Think of yourself. just like a white cloud with no mind. In Tibet, they have the meditation. Monks sitting on the hills, lonely, absolutely in aloneness, just meditating on white clouds drifting in the sky. Continuously contemplating, and by being merged, then they become white clouds, just perching on a hill like a white cloud. No mind, just being there. No resistance, no fight, nothing to be achieved, nothing to be lost. Just enjoying the very existence, celebrating the moment, the joy, the ecstasy of it. Hence I call my way the way of the white clouds. And I would like you also to become white clouds drifting in the sky. I say drifting, not moving. Not moving to a point. Just drifting. Wheresoever the winds lead you, wheresoever you happen to be, that is the goal. So goal is not something ending somewhere, the end of the line. The goal is every moment. Here you are Siddhas to me. Here you are achieved. You have achieved. Here you are as perfect as you can be. Just like a Buddha, Mahavira, Krishna. There is nothing else to be achieved. Right this very moment, everything is there. Only you are not alert. And you are not alert because your mind is in the future. You are not here. You are not aware what has happened to you this very moment. And this has been happening always and always. For many, many million lives, this has been happening. Every moment you have been a Buddha. Not for a single moment it has been missed. It cannot be missed. That is how nature itself is, how things are. You cannot miss it. But you are not alert. And you cannot be alert because of the goal somewhere. Something has to be achieved. Because of that, a barrier is created, and that which you are already is missed. Once this is revealed, once this is realized, once you become alert of this, the greatest mystery of being, that everyone is perfect. And that's what we mean when we say everyone is Brahma. Everyone is the soul, the ultimate soul, the divine. That's what we mean when we say that Tattvamasi, you are that. Not that you have to become that. Because if you have to become that, then you are not that. And if you are not that already, how you can become? The seed becomes the tree, because the seed is already that. A stone cannot become a tree. The seed becomes the tree because the seed is already that. So the question is not of beginning. The question is only of revelation. The seed is revealed this moment as a seed, next moment as a tree. So this is only a question of revelation. And if you can penetrate deeply, the seed is tree this very moment. Tibetan mystics are Zen masters, are Sufi dervishes. They have all talked about the white clouds. The white clouds have been catching many people's inner being. A rapport is achieved, it seems, with the white clouds. Make it a meditation, and then many things will come to you. Life should not be taken as a problem. Once you start that way, you are lost. Once you think life is a problem, it can never be solved. That's how philosophy moves. And that's how philosophy always moves wrongly. There are no right philosophies, there cannot be. All philosophies are wrong. Philosophizing is wrong. Because philosophy takes the basic wrong step of thinking life as a problem. Once life is a problem, there is no solution to it. A life is not a problem, but a mystery. This is how religion takes it. And a white cloud is the most mysterious thing. Suddenly appearing, suddenly disappearing. Have you thought any time that clouds have no nam rup, no name, no form? Even for a single moment, the form is not the same. It is changing. It is beginning. It is a river-like flow. You can give a form to the cloud, but that is your projection. The cloud has got no form. It is formless. Are continuously being formed. It is a flux. And that's how life is. All forms are projected. This life you call yourself a man. And just one life before you were a woman. This life you are white, and the next life you will be black. This moment you are intelligent, and the next moment you behave in a stupid way. This moment you are silent, and the next moment you become mad, fiery, aggressive. Have you got a form? Are you are continuously changing? You are a flux, a cloud. Have you got a name, any identity? Can you call yourself, you are this, are that? The moment you call you are this, the very moment you will become aware that you are the contrary also. You say to someone, I love you, and the very moment hate is there. To someone you call, I am a friend, and the very moment the enemy is laughing inside you, waiting for its moment. Some moment you say you are happy, and the very moment happiness is lost and you have become unhappy. You have got no identity. If you realize this, you become a cloud with no form, with no name. And then drifting starts. To me, the life of a white cloud is the life of a sannyasin, of a man who has renounced The life of a householder is a fixed routine. It is a dead thing. It is a pattern. It has a name, it has a form. It moves on a particular track. It is like railway lines. On the track, trains are moving. They have a goal. They have to reach somewhere. But the sannyasin is like a cloud drifting in the sky. No iron tracks for him. No roots, no identities. He is no one. And lives the life of a non-being. Lives as if he is not. If you can live a life as if you are not, you are on my way. And the more you are, the more disease will be there. The less you are, the more healthy. The less you are, the more weightless. The less you are, the more you will be divine and blissful. When I say life is not a problem, but a mystery, I mean, you cannot solve it. You can become it. A problem is something to be solved intellectually. Even if you solve it, nothing is achieved. You have gathered a little more knowledge. No ecstasy out of it. A mystery is something you can become. You can be one with it, merged. Then ecstasy arises. Then bliss. Then the ultimate that can happen to a being. The ultimate joy. The religion takes life as a mystery. What can you do about a mystery? You cannot do anything about the mystery. You can do something about you. You can become more mysterious. And then the similar can meet with the similar. The same can meet with the same. Look for the mysterious in life. Wherever you see in the white clouds, in the stars, in the night, in the flowers, in a flowing river. Wherever you see, look for the mystery. And wherever you find that a mystery is there, meditate on it. And meditation means dissolve yourself before that mystery. Annihilate yourself before that mystery. Disperse yourself before that mystery. You be no more, and let the mystery be so total that you are absorbed in it. And suddenly a new door opens, a new perception is achieved. Suddenly the mundane world of division, of separation, has disappeared, and a different, totally different world of oneness comes before you. Everything loses its boundary. Everything with another, with others, is not divided but one. But this can be done only if you do something with you. If you have to solve a problem, you have to do something with the problem. You have to find a key, a clue. You have to work on the problem. You have to move in a lab. You have to do something. If you have to encounter a mystery, you have to do something on you, not with the mystery. Nothing can be done. We are impotent before a mystery. That's why we go on changing mysteries into problems. Because with problems we are potent. With problems we feel we are in control. With mysteries we are impotent. We cannot do anything. With mysteries we face death. And we cannot manipulate. That's why more human intellect grows, mathematical, logical, less and less possibility of ecstasies open before human mind. Less and less poetry is possible. Romance is lost. Life becomes factual, not symbolic. So when I say my way is the way of the white clouds, it is just a symbol. White cloud is not being used as a fact. It is used as a symbol, as a poetic symbol, as an indication of a deep merger into the mysterious and the miraculous.
Could you tell us your relationship to the white cloud?
I am a white cloud and there is no relationship. And there cannot be. Relationship exists when you are two divided. So relationship is really not a relationship. Wherever relationship exists, there is separation. I am a white cloud. You cannot be related with a white cloud. You can become one with it and allow the white cloud to become one with you. A relationship is not possible. With relationship you remain separate, and in relationship you go on manipulating. And this is one of the miseries of human life, that even in love we create relationship, then the love is missed. Love should not be a relationship. You should become the lover or the beloved. You should become the other and let the other become you. There should be a merger. Only then conflict ceases. Otherwise love becomes a conflict, a struggle. If you are, then you will try to manipulate. Then you would like to purchase. Then you would like to be the master. Then exploitation. Then the other will be used as a means, not as an end. With white clouds you cannot do that. You cannot make them wives and husbands. You cannot chain them, persuade them for a relationship. They won't allow it. They won't listen to you. They have had it enough of it. That's why now they have become white clouds. You can be one with them, and then their heart is open. But human mind cannot think beyond relationship. Because we cannot think ourselves as if we are not. We are, howsoever we hide it. We are there. Deep down, the ego is there. And deep down, the ego goes on manipulating. With a white cloud, this is not possible. With your ego, you can look at the white cloud. Think about it. But the mysteries will not be opened. The doors will remain closed. You will remain in a dark night. If your ego disappears, you have become the white cloud. In Zen, they have one of the oldest traditions of painting. One Zen master is reported to have said to his disciple, the disciple was learning painting, and through painting, of course, meditation. He was obsessed with bamboos, and he was continuously painting and drying bamboos. The master said, unless you become a bamboo, nothing is going to happen. For 10 years, the disciple was drying bamboos, and he had become so efficient that even with closed eyes, in a dark night, without light, he can dry. And his bamboos were so perfect and so alive. But the master will not approve, and he will say, no, unless you become a bamboo, how can you dry? You remain separate. You remain an onlooker. You remain a spectator. So you may have known the bamboo from the without, but that is the periphery, not the soul of the bamboo. Unless you become one, unless you become a bamboo, how can you know from the within? 10 years the disciple struggled, but the master will not approve. So the disciple disappeared into the forest, in a bamboo forest. For 3 years nothing was heard about him. Then news started coming that he has become a bamboo. Now he doesn't draw. He lives with bamboos. He stands with bamboos. Winds blow. Bamboos dance. He also dances. Then the master went to find out. And really, the disciple had become a bamboo. Then the master said, no, forget all about bamboo and you. The disciple said, but you told me to become the bamboo, and I have become. The master said, now forget this also, because now this is the only barrier. Deep down, somewhere you are still separate and remembering that you have become the bamboo. So you are not yet a perfect bamboo, because a bamboo will not remember this. So forget this. For 10 years, the bamboos were not discussed. Then one day the master called the disciple and said, now you can draw. First become the bamboos, then forget the bamboos. So you become so perfect a bamboo that the drying is not a drying, but a growth. So I am not related with white clouds at all. I am a white cloud, and I would like you also to be white clouds, not related. Enough of relationship, you have suffered enough. Many, many lives you have been related with this or that, and you have suffered enough, more than you deserve, you have suffered. And the suffering has been centered on the wrong concept of relationship. The wrong concept is you have to be yourself and then related. Then there is tension, conflict, violence, aggression, and the whole hell follows. Sartre says somewhere, the other is the hell. But really, the other is not the hell, the other is the other because you are the ego. If you are no more, the other has disappeared. And whenever this happens between a man and a tree, between a man and a cloud, between a man and a woman, or between a man and a rock, whenever it happens that you are not, hell disappears. Suddenly you are transfigured. You have entered paradise. The old biblical story is beautiful, that Adam and Eve were thrown out of the Garden of Eden because they had eaten a forbidden fruit, the fruit of the tree of knowledge. This is one of the most wonderful parables ever devised. Why the fruit of the tree of knowledge was forbidden? Because the moment knowledge enters, the ego is there. The moment you know you are, you have fallen. This is the original sin. Nobody has thrown Adam and Eve out of heaven the moment they became aware that they are. The Garden of Eden disappears. For such eyes which are filled with ego, the garden cannot exist. Not that they have been thrown out of the garden. The garden is here and now. It is just by your side. It has always been following you wherever you go. But you cannot see it. If the ego is not there, you have entered again. The garden reveals you have been never out of it. And try this, sitting under the tree, forget yourself, let the tree be only there. This happened to Buddha under the Bodhi tree. He was not in that moment, everything happened. Only the Bodhi tree was there. You may not be aware that for 500 years after Buddha, his statue was not created, his picture was not painted. For 500 years continuously, whenever a Buddha temple was created, only the picture of the Bodhi tree was there. That was beautiful. Because in that moment when Gautam Siddhartha became Buddha, he was not there, only the tree was there. He had disappeared for a moment, only the tree was there. Find moments when you are not. And those will be the moments when you will be for the first time really. So I am the white cloud. And the whole effort is to make you also white clouds drifting in the sky. Nowhere to go, from nowhere coming. Just being there this very moment, perfect. I don't teach you any ideals. I don't teach you any arts. I don't say to you, be this, become that. My whole teaching is simply this, whatsoever you are, accept it so totally that nothing is left out of it to be achieved, and you will become a white cloud.
Somebody have a question? Is it true that to really break through, to become totally present, to become a white cloud, we have to live through all our dreams, all our fantasies? And how can that reality be as real in response to Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and Puna as it would be in the Garden of Eden, in the heart of nature?
The question is not whether one has to live through all the dreams and fantasies or not. You are living in them. You are already in them. And it is not a question of choice. You cannot choose. Can you choose? Can you drop your dreams? Can you drop your fantasies? If you try to drop your dreams, you will have to substitute them with other dreams. If you try to change your fantasies, they will change into another type of fantasies, but they will remain dreams and fantasies. So what is to be done? Accept them. Why be against them? This tree has red flowers. That tree has yellow flowers, so it's okay. You have certain dreams, yellow dreams. Somebody has certain other dreams, blue dreams, red dreams, so it's okay. Why fight with dreams? Why try to change them? When you try to change them, you are believing them too much. You don't think they are dreams. You think they are real. And a change will be significant. If dreams are dreams, why not accept them? And the moment you accept, they disappear. And this is the secret. The moment you accept, they disappear. Because dreaming mind adjusts through rejection. The very phenomena of a dreaming mind is rejection. You have been rejecting many things, that's why they pop up in your dreams. You are moving from a street. You look at a beautiful woman or a man. Desire arises and suddenly you drop it. This is wrong. You reject it. Tradition, culture, society, morality, this is not good. You can look at a beautiful flower, nothing is bad in it, but at a beautiful face, something goes immediately wrong. You reject it. Now this face will become a dream. The rejected becomes the dream. Now this face will haunt you. Now in the night this face will come around you. Now this body will be hovering. The desire that you have rejected will become a dream. Desires that you have repressed will become dreams and fantasies. So, how to create a dream? The secret is reject. The more you reject, the more dreams will be there. So those who go to the hills, those who reject life, they are filled with too much dreams. And their dreams become so much real, hallucinatory, that they cannot make any distinction whether this is a dream or a reality. Don't reject, otherwise you will create more. Accept. Whatsoever happens to you, accept it as part. As part of your being. Don't condemn it. The moment you become more accepting, dreams will dissolve. A person who accepts his life totally becomes dreamless. Because the very base has been cut. One thing. And second thing, the whole is nature. the whole, I say, not only the trees, not only the clouds, the whole, whatsoever has happened because of nature. There is nothing unnatural, cannot be. Otherwise, how it could have happened? Everything is natural. So don't create a division that this is natural and this is unnatural. Whatsoever is natural. But the mind lives on distinctions, divisions. Don't allow divisions. Accept whatsoever is and accepts without any analysis. So whether you are in the market or in the hills, you are in the same nature. Somewhere the nature has become hills and trees, and somewhere it has become shops in the market. And once you know the secret of accepting, even the market becomes beautiful. The market has its own beauty. The life there, the activity, the beautiful madness that goes around. It has its own beauty. And hills will not be so beautiful if there were no markets, remember. The hills are so beautiful and so silent because the market exists. The market gives silence to the hills. So everywhere, whether you are in the market, are doing Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, are sitting under a tree silently, take it as one expanse. Don't divide it. And when you are dancing, doing Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, enjoy it. It is the way how your tree is being, this very moment, how you are flowering. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama can become a flowering in you. It has become a flowering to many. When Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was dancing in the villages of Bengal and doing his kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, it was a flowering. It was one of the most beautiful things that has ever happened. Not only that Buddha sitting under a Bodhi tree is beautiful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in the streets with Hare Krishna, Hare Rama is also beautiful. The same, this is other extreme. You can sit under a tree and can forget yourself so completely that you have disappeared. You can dance in a street and be absorbed in your kirtan, in your singing, in your dancing, that you have disappeared. The secret is total absorbment, wherever it happens, and it happens to different people in different ways. We cannot conceive Buddha dancing. He was not that type, not a dancing type. But you may be a dancing type. So don't force yourself. Otherwise, under a Bodhi tree, you will be in trouble. Just forcing yourself, stilling yourself, will be violent. And then your face will not become like a Buddha. It will be tortured. It will be a self-torture. You may be like Chaitanya, you may be like Meera. Find out the way how your cloud moves, where it drifts, and allow it full freedom to move and drift. Wherever it goes, it will reach to the divine. Only don't fight. Flow. Don't push the river, flow with it. A dance is beautiful. But you must be totally in it. That's the point. Don't reject anything. Rejection is irreligious. Accept totally. Acceptance is prayer. You know?